The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Okay, here we are then for the first Lunchtime Social debate of 2016. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And we are slightly different this lunchtime because Joan is sat the other side of the desk. So what we're going to do for the first section is we're going to talk about manipulation. And we're not going to take any calls in the first section of the show, purely and simply because you don't know which button to push. we'll leave the calls, if we get any calls on the show today, from 12:30 onwards. For the first section, though, we're going to talk about manipulation. We chatted about this just before the 12 o'clock news. And I think that there's probably, when you talk about manipulation, there's three kinds of people. There's people that realise that they're being manipulated. There's people that are manipulated, and there's people that think absolutely no way that they are being manipulated at all.
And they're probably the ones most manipulated, I think.
But they don't want to admit it.
They don't want to admit it, no. But
now, does you? I mean, I don't like to. You know, I throw it out there. If you don't want to talk about it, then fine, just say. But you mentioned there that your husband, before the break, we were talking about your husband thinks that he's in full control of his life.
Yeah.
Is that something we can talk about?
Yeah, of course. But I think that's a lot of people like to live with that kind of illusion, don't they? That they're in control. It's their way of coping, way of getting through the day. Because if they realise they weren't, I think it would all just go into freefall. They couldn't deal with that.
Now, there's numerous things. I mean, I touched on the manipulation of people owning their own homes at a very early age. That is drummed into you, and we'll come back to that in a wee while. But maybe we should start off with, because I think this is quite apt to the time of year, that if there are people out there that say that they are not manipulated, they are in full control. I say to you, were you one of those people that went shopping on Boxing Day because you needed something, or because someone told you you had to go because a little man on the telly said so-and-so was going to be 30% off or whatever?
No, I'd avoid it like the plague, because I like Christmas to last for as long as possible. So I stay at home, all kind of warm and cosy, or go to the pub, or go for a walk on the beach. But I wouldn't dream of going to the shops, because I've done all that busy shopping right up until the last minute. And then I just want to relax and not see the inside of a retail outlet.
Now, we went out on Boxing Day. And we don't go shopping for food on Boxing Day, because most people have got all their food in. But I don't understand why people have to do that. Why do they have to, think, I've got to go to the supermarket, got to get some food? It's, what, 1, 2, 3 days that you're not going to have to buy anything? Surely you've got enough at home. You're manipulated enough to go and go shopping for food.
When I was a kid, they were all closed, weren't they, on Boxing Day? You couldn't buy anything if you wanted to.
But they're not anymore.
No, that's right. So, like the Sunday opening. So, because people can, they do. It becomes more of a social thing, doesn't it, to go out and be part of it. My daughter, she rushes to the Boxing Day sales. And I think that's it. That's Christmas killed. That's gone. Now you've done that. Thanks.
What? Also, will you, because I'm guilty of that as well. I go around, for the last couple of years, I've gone around the town. I live in the town, and we both agreed, my wife and I both agreed, that if, just say for instance, we had to drive on Boxing Day, we wouldn't bother.
Right.
It's because we live virtually in the town.
Oh, so you wouldn't make the effort if you weren't, if it wasn't on your doorstep?
No.
Right.
Exactly. So, to some...
So you dawdle to the shops on Boxing Day?
I do.
Okay.
I do. It incorporates a walk. Maybe I should explain that. I'm walking a lot more these days for health reasons. So I'm doing that, and, I think to myself, if I want to walk around, well, we call it Matalan, because it sounds better than Matalan. If you want to walk around up and down, you don't necessarily have to buy anything, but at least you're in the warm and you're having a bit of a walk and you're clocking up some steps on your, on the mileage that you're supposed to do on a daily basis. But I just don't get the people that want to save all their money for the Boxing Day sales when they've just had Christmas and somebody's taken the time and the trouble to buy them something and they're not happy with, so they then have to go out and buy more stuff. And it always used to be the January sales. Not the Boxing Day sales.
Absolutely, yeah. They were something to look forward to after Christmas in the proper time and the proper place. Now it starts so much earlier. In fact, some of the retailers were starting at 4 p.m. Christmas Day, the online retailers. So over Christmas dinner, people are there on their phones and on their iPads kind of, buying and selling and doing all that retail stuff.
I don't get the fascination with it to start off with. To me that is manipulation.
Well, I also think it's sad, like you say, and Christmas morning when people are opening their presents, they're opening it and they're already thinking, oh, that's not quite what I want, but that's got to be worth about what, 50 quid. Now in the sales I could go and get twice as much as that. And this is just horrible, isn't it? And you think, well, I could have just given you the money in the first place, saved me dawdling around the shop on Christmas Eve looking for something suitable for you that you didn't like anyway.
That's what it's going to be soon, isn't it? We're just going to say, well, why, look, I can't be bothered to think, I can't be bothered to go out and do my shopping for you, I'm just going to give you X amount of money or some vouchers for the Boxing Day sale.
Exactly.
That's a really sad state of affairs. But I don't get what's even worse about that. The sales thing you can kind of understand if you're going to go and get a bargain, but I don't understand why people have to go food shopping. They're desperate to do food shopping on Boxing Day, which is what I saw walking around, and I'm thinking, oh, for goodness sake, get your life together. You just, for some reason, that I see that as being manipulated. The other thing is that over the Christmas period, it's drummed into you from an early age that it's a time to eat and drink. And
even people that don't normally drink have got a drink in the hand at Christmas, haven't they?
Yeah.
It's normal. It's what you do. Yeah.
And you know what's coming in January. You've eaten too much, you're unhealthy, and you've probably had family round, got a bug, and all that you do over the Christmas period is now going to make the start of your new year a really bad one.
That's right. And then you're kind of manipulated to join the gym, or manipulated to join some sort of slimming club or something.
Yeah.
Because you feel really bad about yourself because you're beating yourself up. You've had a look in the mirror, you think, oh, I don't like what I see. Beat yourself up, quick, sign up, loads of money for a gym, or loads of money for this, that and the other. And it just becomes... Yeah, you're never happy with yourself, are you? Because there's always somebody saying, well, you did this, but you should have done that. Think about this. Oh, you're not doing that. Oh, I would.
And the other thing is, the other carrot that they dangle is, okay, you've just had Christmas, you've just forked out loads, you've eaten loads, you've drank loads, and by the way, you've put on a bit of weight and you need to solve an issue here because you're going on holiday July, aren't you? You're going on holiday.
Yeah, look at all these lovely slim people on the beach, lovely bronze people chilling out, and look at you on the sofa, you're slobbing it.
See, I just think that is control, that is manipulation, and we might not agree that that's what it is because we don't like to agree that we are being manipulated, but we are.
I think people realise that advertising, in whatever form, is a and I can say this because, I was an ad girl, but of course that's persuasion, manipulation by what any other means. But I think you've got a sort of darker, deeper point in that it goes deeper than that, doesn't it? It goes through lots of other elements of our life, this manipulation.
Mm. Since when did Christmas last more than 2 days? The longer the Christmas goes on, the more money you're spending on food, the more drinking you're doing, and all of a sudden, those 2 days, I mean, we used to get Christmas Day and Boxing Day off.
That's right.
We'd get New Year's Day off as well, but that would be a week later. So in between, we'd have a couple of days where it was normal.
Well, this station closed down, didn't it, for 2 weeks or something, like most companies do.
Yeah, we were kind of live. But I just look at it and think, why would you want to do like everyone else is doing? What, give people some time off. But equally, I look at it and say, hang on, if you have 1 or 2 days off here, and you continue that into it, I've just had 10 lovely days. Don't get me wrong. Mm. I'm kind of being a hypocrite here because I'm saying I've had 10 lovely days off. I've saved my holidays for this period of time, so 1 week could blend into another. That's lovely. And there are some people out there that this won't affect because all they've had off is a couple of days. They've been back to work the day after Boxing Day.
Some of them haven't even had Christmas off, though, have they? You know, the nurses, doctors, you know, loads of people.
Absolutely.
They have to keep going.
So they probably are okay now. There will be people coming back to work today that will be struggling with the amount of time that they've had off, struggling with their health because they've had so much to drink and they've had so much to eat that they're now thinking, oh, I feel really awful. What's the first thing Brandon turned up and said today? He's got some kind of cough or something where he's been smoking and drinking too much. That's what he said.
Yeah.
They were his words.
And then promptly breathed all over us, didn't he? Yeah. He could have just sat in his chair looking a bit groggy and that would have been fine. I'd have made him a cup of tea or something. No, came in, sort of heavily breathed into the studio. Thanks, Brandon.
Now we did a show over Christmas and it was, I listened to it over the Christmas period and I thought it was absolutely brilliant. It was brilliantly produced and it was a spin on Grumpy Old Men and Grumpy Old Women. And it was produced by Dominic Cole. He's done a fantastic job. And what I'm very aware of is that we're probably sounding a little bit like that today because we're looking back over Christmas and think, I don't get eating and drinking to the excess that we do.
But in praise of Christmas, and like I said, I am Mrs. Santa Claus, I love that, you know, there is that magic in the air and everybody is chilled out and a bit more relaxed and a bit more anything goes. And I like that people are there in a Santa hat and reindeer antlers and Christmas pudding earrings. That's got to be good, hasn't it, for 2 weeks of the year that we just chill out a bit like that?
I agree,
yeah.
But I think there's a fine line. Really do think there's a fine line. And when you go out and you see people queuing for food on Boxing Day in a supermarket, and, you know, it's really frustrated because, oh, I've got to go get some food, I've got to go get some milk, and you're thinking, for goodness sake, it's one day, you've probably got enough food. We looked in our fridge and we thought, do you know what, we've probably got enough food to keep us going until the second week of January.
Oh, indeed, yeah.
And how much food do we chuck away? So it's kind of manipulation. We're kind of manipulated into the shopping, you know, over Christmas, the eating, the drinking to massive excess. I did something really, really sneaky, and I told my wife what I had done because we both, unfortunately, we drink quite a lot. And we stopped drinking during the course of the week. We only drink alcohol now at the weekends. But being Christmas, we relaxed the rules. So we drank all through the Christmas period. Now,
yeah.
This time last year, we would have probably polished off a good couple of bottles of spirits. Now, she likes a brandy. I just drink it because it's there.
Yeah.
I'm not really a brandy fan. I like whiskey. And she likes a rum as well. So we got bottles of rum and whiskey, and people buy you stuff for Christmas, and you're thinking, do you know that my cholesterol's through the roof, my blood pressure is through the roof as well, but you're still buying me bottles of whiskey, not just little bottles, massive bottles. My son brought me back one from when he was out and about on his travels earlier this year, and I'm thinking, don't want to sound ungrateful, but I can't really drink all of this. Like last year, I wouldn't have thought twice about it. Would have probably drank the lot because I remember that old saying, why do you drink so fast? Well, I had one knocked over once. and you just think, right, okay, if there's alcohol in the house, you've got to drink it. But this year, totally different. And what I did was, which was really sneaky, my wife didn't cotton on. Instead of pouring ourselves out large brandies, I put them in shot glasses.
Oh, clever.
And when we had a look, see how much we've got left over in the cupboard yesterday, we've got two large bottles of spirits left over. This time last year, they'd have been drank, no questions asked.
Do you feel better?
I do feel better, a lot better, but I also feel like I've manipulated the wife.
Oh,
because I've controlled
her. In a
good
way. In a good way.
In a good way, yeah.
Yeah.
But and she didn't realise. And she said, oh, you know, at first I thought she was going to get the ump and sort of say, oh, you've done that. Who are you to do? Tell me how much I can
but
drink.
But she can see how much she's drinking. She can see a shot glass is a lot smaller than a big brandy balloon, can't she?
Well, yeah, but you don't realise, you know, because obviously then if you want to drink, you've got to get up and you've got to go and get it and so on. And you make it last because you don't want to have to keep getting up. And that's the trick. It's manipulation in a nice kind of way. Late last year, we did the same sort of thing with our plate sizes.
Dolly's plates.
We went out and bought smaller plates. It's as simple as that. It's a kind of a nice manipulation. But what I don't like is the manipulation that we have on a daily basis
And that's how a lot of the stars lose their baby weight, Ian. They eat their food off dolls' plates. Yeah. It's that way of doing that small portion thing, I suppose, yeah.
It's a fascinating thing that, and I dare say that there will be people out there that will be thinking, manipulation, and no one's manipulating me.
But you sort of manipulate yourself, don't you? I found myself going into pubs this year. We decided we were going to go, because we're so lucky here, we've got these lovely pubs with open log fires, haven't we? Christmas trees and mulled wine. So we decided we'd kind of go round as many of those as we could. And I was saying, right, you know, I'm going to have a Baileys, I'm going to have an eggnog. I never drink eggnog. I never drink that. But because it was Christmas, I was sort of manipulating myself into doing that. You know, it's weird.
Well, we had, is it Advocaat?
That's what I mean.
We had Advocaat over the Christmas period. The wife bought some because she remembered her gran giving it to all those years ago. Well, that there's a fine line with I don't look at that as manipulation, but...
But at some point I had been manipulated to thinking that Advocaat was a Christmas drink. Yeah. And a treat.
You only have that at Christmas. Why?
Drinks you wouldn't look at any other time of the year suddenly come to the front of the drinks cabinet, don't they?
Just going back to just before the news, we talked about, you know, the manipulation. This for me is the worst one of all, and it really frustrates me that nobody's actually given anybody any sound business advice. Now, you mentioned Tony Bray. Now, just in case you don't remember, Tony Bray was a guy that worked for Vectis Radio, and he was, for want of a better word, he was a financial advisor. And I told him one day that I thought that people like him were part of the problem when it comes down to advising people financially. Not all the time. When it comes down to the basics, when you leave school, you're urged to get a job. And when you've got a job, you're urged to buy your own house. As soon as you possibly can, buy your own house. Now that, even today, I think is really good advice. Okay, but what they don't tell you is that when, just say for instance, you buy a house, you get married, and you have children, and if you're lucky, you'll stay together for as long as you possibly can, maybe forever. But if you don't, then the problem you're going to have with buying a house is you lose half your profits, you lose half your house, and then you've got to go and start again. And if that relationship breaks down, which a lot of people do have, a number of relationships that breaks down, there's no point in owning your own home when you get into your 40s and 50s, because you're never going to be able to pay for it if you're on kind of average wages.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
And they never tell you that, though. So you're manipulated to think that is what you've got to do. That's where you should be. Okay, but times have changed. I mean, the sad things are is when we're age 20 or 25, and when we're getting married and we think it's going to last forever, you know, the sad thing is lives are changing, the world is changing. That may have been the case X amount of years ago. Going back 40, 50 years ago, it was frowned upon to get divorced. But nowadays, you know, people get married and they break up just as easily, just as quick.
I wonder if that's going to go full circle, though. Maybe we're all a bit tired of that now. I don't know.
Do you think so?
I don't know. It would be nice to think it might swing back the other way, because we always move on, don't we? I mean, I've done it. I've moved on. I mean, you think there's the grass greener, and then, you know, you just keep changing one set of problems for another, don't you?
You do. I mean, it's. I hope it does. I really hope that it does, because I think it's kind of scary as a, you know, how we can just give up on certain things.
I think it's very easy to quit, you know, lots of things. I mean, there's definitely times when you're in bad relationships and you have to walk, you have to get out. But there are times when, like you say, it's all made far too easy. And you think, well, okay, so what's plan B? So I've dropped that set of problems, but now I've given myself a whole new set. What was worse, the ones I had before, the ones I've got now?
Yeah, that's a good point. Saw something this morning about manipulation. We were talking about apps earlier on, apps with the sugar. There's now a new app, and I found it. I haven't downloaded it because I can't bring myself to do it. But there is an app now that when you go out and do your shopping, you can scan the item that you're going to buy and it will tell you how much sugar is actually in it.
But if you pick up a great big gatto or a packet of biscuits, you know, surely, don't you? Got a pretty good idea.
You don't
that,
need an app to tell you. No. You really don't need an app. Now, somebody, this was on the news this morning, and I think this is fascinating, and it's fascinating how we live our lives now. And I'm not, this isn't me having a go at people for living these lives. This is me saying, are you aware of how much, not so much, it might, may not even be damaged, but you've got an iPhone. Mm-hmm. And on the iPhone is probably your email. You've got an email app.
Yeah.
So you're, and this is what I saw on the news this morning. Is it making our lives better or is it not making our lives better? It's as simple as that. So you could be sat there overnight time and all of a sudden, you know, those things, you go back 30 years, and between 7 and 9 or 7 and 10, you may be eating, you may be watching the TV, but you'll be spending time with your family or your other half and so on and so forth. Nowadays, I guarantee if you're one of those people that will sit and watch the TV between 7 and 10, like I am, maybe 8 till 10, you will be sat there and every now and again you'll get email. Message on Facebook and something else will come through and you don't have to have it. And the point that we're making this morning is the question they were asking is, has it made our lives any better? And I would say that it probably hasn't made our lives any better.
I think it's just stressed us all out. When I went on holiday this year, it was a week and I didn't touch the phone, I didn't take the computer. It was glorious and I didn't do it for 2 days over Christmas. And then when I went back on, everybody was there with their Christmas pictures and their you know, look at my house, look at my tree, look at my Christmas cake. And I don't know, I thought it was a bit of a yawn fest, really. But I hate being bothered by it all the time. I think I don't like the 24/7 nature of it.
It's great that you can, and you have, by the sound of it, distance yourself, right? Okay, I'm not answering my phone or I'm not checking my emails this time of night. It's a shame that they don't, and they probably haven't, because they won't. It's a bit like when you have the phones, just say for instance you can't get a phone signal, they won't moan about it because, or you know, they won't do anything about it because it means somebody's not making any money. And it's a similar thing to what I'm trying to say. If they made an app, what a brilliant app it would be, where you could just, and I know you can do this on your emails, where you can say, well, I'm out today, or I'm out for the week, or I'm off for the week, but you've got to go in and change the settings. Wouldn't it be great if you had something in the settings where you could say, right, between 9 and 5, I'm at work, anything that comes in after 5 o'clock, this is not important, I'm now on downtime, and I won't be answering this until the morning. Wouldn't it be great if they made an app for that?
Yeah.
But they won't, because that will hold up technology.
And I think also that people are on different, people have got their own different rules, haven't they? Like, yonks ago, before these came in, a lot of people worked 9 to 5, so you knew that if you called somebody evening, it was going to be a social call. You didn't generally call them about work in the evening or at weekends or on holiday. You didn't bother them. Whereas now, it seems perfectly acceptable to put that email in at 12 o'clock at night and expect a reply at, you know, quite quickly to that.
Yeah.
The text, the same thing. And you think, but what makes you think I'm looking at, you know, it's just by chance I might have picked it up or I've missed it, because why should I be? Why would I be? You've always got to be on duty now. That's how it seems to me. The people expect you to be. And I'm an author and do a lot of my stuff online. You know, it's where I sell my majority of my books. So I'm expected to have this online presence, answer my emails, you know, do my websites, Facebook, Twitter, social media all the time. But it's exhausting. And I think we're all doing it. We're all shouting into a black hole. Are we listening to each other?
Has it enhanced you?
Do I look like I'm enhanced, Ian? What do you think?
Okay.
I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling enhanced, no.
Well, let me ask another question. How long have you been on Facebook?
Probably about a year-ish.
You feel manipulated into being on Facebook?
Totally manipulated, because I'm an online author. They say you have to have this presence, otherwise you're not going to reach an audience. You're not going to be able to get engaged with an audience. And your audience are online, so you have to be online. So I get that. But it's so many people are doing it in every aspect and area of life. So I don't know who's listening anymore.
Do you have a website?
Yeah.
Plug the website.
One now?
Yeah, go on, plug the website.
Oh, www.joan-ellis.com, and you can read all about my books and all about me and see pictures of my cat. People love cats, don't they?
See, there would have been a time when that would have been enough. You got a website.
Yeah.
What do I need to be on Facebook?
Yeah.
There it is. There's my details. But you've got to be on Facebook for mm-hmm. some reason. Don't get me wrong. I think Facebook is fantastic. But I think there's an awful lot of people that have been manipulated into being on it.
Yeah.
And people like yourself. I mean, there's a lot of sociable people out there that will put messages up.
Yeah.
And I think it's great. Mm. I think it can be fun. It can be, you know, it can be a really, really good thing, Facebook.
And I think for friendship, it's a lovely thing. You know, if we're all across the miles, it's a great way of reconnecting with your family and friends. It's fantastic. And I've got back in touch with people I went to school with and family members who live miles away. It's just lovely. But in terms of work, I find it is very intrusive.
So we've basically, the facts are that we are both being manipulated. You were manipulated to being on Facebook because of, yeah, okay, you may have given in and been on Facebook to stay in contact with friends and family, but the most important reason for you was to promote yourself on Facebook, which so many people were doing.
Meeting people on Facebook, meeting readers, yeah.
There's that fine line of manipulation and what would we call it, improvement to your, enhancement to your life. And there is a fine line, and there is some pluses. There are also some negatives too. And the negatives we just mentioned, tied in with your emails, you know, you're it's almost like you're on call 24/7.
Oh, yeah, totally. But you're not getting paid for it.
No.
Because I get to the end of a session on Facebook or, you know, Twitter or emails, and I think, right, who do I invoice? Oh, is any me? All right, okay, forget
that. I spent half an hour yesterday just going through all of the emails that have built up over the last couple of months, and there was something like 200 plus emails that I just had to go through, and most of them I just deleted because I could look at them and say, right, that doesn't you know, appeal to me, that doesn't really bother me, that's not to me. And I spent all that time doing it. I do it once a year because you get the time to do it. You clear out your inbox and you think that'll be full again by tomorrow. Mm. Full again with most of it complete nonsense.
That's right.
My wife's just sent me an email now, and it's all to do with a 70% sale off.
Oh, there we go. We're back to Boxing Day sales, January sales.
And it is. It's you know, and I've got a serious email which I've got to read a little bit later on from Kelvin Curry. Now that's important, but the other stuff, I get so much spam. It's unbelievable, and I wish there was a spam app. Was it, you know, rather than have a sugar app that tells you you've got too much sugar, I'd rather have a spam app that you could put into your machine and it just gets rid of all your spam.
Yeah, but even stuff that's not spam, you know, people are constantly on your case, and you're constantly, one is constantly other people's cases, because that's the way life is now, isn't it?
Yeah.
So when is that going to reach saturation point where you just think, like you, I've got 200 emails, I didn't even see your very important email because it was buried amongst the other 199. When are we going to get to that point where we just think, I can't cope?
No,
but I can't do it.
Those people are manipulating my email box, my inbox, so I don't like that. But just changing, not just ever so slightly, I mean, you know, staying with the technology, Facebook side of things, I mean, the internet has probably been the biggest manipulation ever, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Because...
And it's got no boundaries, no rules, anything goes, doesn't it? And that, I think that's frightening. And that's manipulating people to say anything does go. It's okay. Anything you can think of, anything you dream of, you'll find it on here.
Absolutely. And obviously there's the nastier side of manipulation as well, which, you know, I don't want to go into detail now, but that's how dangerous it is.
Yeah. And it's normalising a lot of behaviour in a way, because it's out there, because you can see it and it's there and it's accessible. It's normalising behaviour that before we thought was abhorrent. You know, even like what we were talking about earlier about people trolling people. What gives people the right to do that? You know, you wouldn't just go up to somebody generally and insult them for no reason if you didn't know them, a stranger in the street. But that's what they're doing. That's the equivalent, isn't it, online?
It's
like
it
they're
is.
Just walking up to someone, spitting their venom all over them, and then anonymously running away and saying, you can't catch me, there's nothing you can do. And that's horrible. But people are becoming very accepting. Oh, I was trolled, you know. Why? You shouldn't be. That's disgusting. People haven't got the right to do that.
Because they're manipulated to feel that that's the norm.
That's the way, that's the norm. It's the norm. That's how it is. Yeah.
It's absolutely
accept
wrong.
It.
Yeah. So do you get up in the morning and feel like you're being manipulated? Are you one of those people that, okay, I know...
No, this morning, Ian, I tell you, I was manipulated by you because I thought, I can't be late. So I whizzed out of that bed like a thing possessed. I thought, he doesn't like it if you're late. So I'm shooting down. I also made sure I had a bath, put my deodorant on because I know you don't like it if people are a bit whiffy. So, yes, you, Mr. Ian Matt, you manipulated me.
I've manipulated you. Well, that's great. Because I think everybody manipulates everybody, don't they? It's to a degree.
Yeah, I was reading a great piece by a Paul McKenna interview yesterday, and you know, all these wonderful little wily ways he's got of influencing, manipulating other people, and the journalist who'd interviewed him at the end sort of almost realised that the whole interview, even though he thought he was in control of the interview and he was interviewing Paul McKenna, he realised at the end that Paul McKenna had just done a fantastic job on him and got him to see him and report him as a really great guy, you know, in the nicest possible way. So it's all these little tricks, you know, how to win friends and influence people that we... Yeah, that's all forms of manipulation, isn't it? But you're right, and I wish you hadn't put this idea into my head now, because it's sat there and it is so true, but it's just not very nice, is it?
It's not very nice. And you hear people, and I have to be careful now, because, you know, I don't want to upset or offend anybody, but you hear people, their relationships where men have been manipulated, and, you know, equally women manipulate, because if they a bit fruitier in the bedroom, they may get a nice new coat or whatever, and you hear that, and that's kind of, I don't know, it's not, to me, that's not as bad as the...
I must have been a very bad girl in the bedroom, because all I got was a Christmas jumper with a blooming robin on it. It doesn't say much for me, does it?
But you hear of, and I do feel sorry for people that are in a relationship where, you know, it's top heavy. And a person, whether it's male or female, because it works in both ways, can manipulate the other half into, right, I want to move house, right, I want this, I want that, and they'll in return, you get favours. I'm trying to clean this up. You know where I'm coming from.
And I think that's been the same from time immemorial, hasn't it?
I think you're right, yeah. Definitely. But then it's that moment where you kind of, you go into someone's house and you realise that that's going on. My son was with us at Christmas time, and he's quite sort of gobby and, you know, leery. And I said, do you know what, son? Sometimes it's best to just sit back and watch things, and you can kind of analyse things. And it was just a fascinating thing. And he said that he was trying to accuse me that I was under the thumb.
All right.
And it turned out, within 24 hours, he changed his mind. He said, you know what, Dad? All you've done is done something. He said, I don't know how you've done it, but you've done and got your own way without being manipulative, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the kind of thing I'm talking about with the relationships. It's kind of, okay, some of it might be cynical, but some of it might be fun as well. And it's that realisation that, hang on, I've been had. You let me think that I was in control. You let me think that I was wearing the trousers, but you were wearing them all along. And
yeah,
that's something
that's quite clever, isn't it? That's subtle. So I'm not like that. I haven't got that thing that does that. I can't work. My brain doesn't work like that, unfortunately.
No, see, mine doesn't. But then there are certain times when, you know, it's not so much manipulation. You could go out and you could say, do you want a cup of tea? And you'll be asked, what are you after? And you're thinking, well, I'm not really after anything. But, and then you think, right, when does this become manipulation? When does this become, okay, if I make you a cup of tea, does that mean you're going to get our dinner on? You know, does that lead to something else?
But we're human beings, aren't we? We're not saints. So, yeah, I think we do operate like that at some level. Yeah.
Okay, I think we've talked about manipulation enough. I think what we'll do is we'll take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back. We're going to change seats, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the flooding that happened over the Christmas period, and discuss, is it Michael Sheen?
Yes.
Michael Sheen was on a radio program over Christmas. And he's been slated for things that he has said. So quick break, we'll come back, we'll do part two.
Okay.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone. 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com. Across the Isle of Wight and across the world, this is Vectis Radio.
Have you looked at your carpets lately? Are they fit to be seen, or do they let you down? Or maybe they could really do with a freshening up to get rid of some of those stains and smells. Whatever the problem with your carpets, curtains or upholstery, you need ChemDry first. Call us for a quote on 295 518. No matter what the material, be it leather, cotton or silk, ChemDry first have the tools, training and experience to ensure they look their best. All cleaning products are 100% safe and non-toxic. Call 295 518 or go to www.chemdryfirst.co.uk to book a free quotation and claim your free can of spot remover. We offer a no-quibble money-back guarantee on every job, so you have nothing to lose. That number again is 295 518.
Origins Theatre's new production presents Charles Dickens Storyteller. We bring Charles Dickens back to life with a lookalike actor in period costume, reading extracts from his books, just as he used to do. It's the perfect addition to any event. A festival, a fete, a corporate event, a specially themed dinner at a pub or hotel. Find out more and book Charles Dickens for your event. Go to originstheatre.uk. That's www.originstheatre.uk.
The Dotty Imaging Company is a new business on the beautiful Isle of Wight, specialising in creativity from graphic design for print to hand-produced paintings and drawings. Looking for inspiration for that special gift? Something unique? Then the Dotty Imaging Company is your solution. Using the traditional techniques of fine dots, I can produce beautiful pen and ink artwork that can be personalised for family and pet portraits. Order now your unique island gifts or purchase a portrait voucher to give to that special someone or even treat yourself. Google the Dotty Imaging Company, find me on Facebook or call 07 443 506 213. The Dotty Imaging Company, where creativity starts with the dot.
Tense, nervous headache, life just bringing you down.
You know what you need? Tetravion, the debut album, All Out Tomorrows. Available over the counter, no prescription needed. HMV, Amazon, iTunes, all your favourite record stores. And if you want a t-shirt or a signed copy, go to churchofeon.com. Can't you feel it?
The loss of a loved one through bereavement is one of the hardest and most painful things we have to go through in life. It's a great help and comfort when someone can sit down with you and talk you through the kind of service you would like to mark the passing of your friend or relative, and then on the day deliver a warm and positive ceremony with his or her life at the heart of it all. My name's Jonathan Skeet, and I'm an independent funeral celebrant. For an informal chat with no obligation whatsoever about how I can help you in this crisis moment, call me on 01983 868607. That's 01983 868607. Or ask your funeral director.
Hello, Maggie here, coach, mentor, consultant, speaker, author and survivor. Coaching differs when working with every client because people have different goals, aspirations or areas in their lives which they want to change. The common denominator is that they wish to make a change for the better and have made a commitment to do so. I coach by finding out what you want to happen, then we work together on solutions. I'm straightforward, but I will challenge you when it's in your best interest and I will hold you accountable. Get in touch today via my website, maggiecurry.co.uk, for a free chat to discover how I will support you through the changes you want to make. I will deliver the goods and help you get the results you want, begin to unlock your future today.
All Washed Up are a group of friends and family brought together by toe-tapping music and fun times. Their influences stem from blues, bluegrass and skiffle genres. They also like to put their own All Washed Up twang on popular songs with an eclectic mix of banjo, mandolin, ukulele, guitar, bass, harmonica, washboard and T-chest bass. They play feel-good, foot-stomping tunes that are good for both the soul and dancing. To book All Washed Up for your events, call 01983 521 267. That's 01983 521 267 or email dameshirleysteed@gmail.com or check them out at www.allwashedup.info.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefiber.com.
And we're back for part two. So we're going to go to the phone lines in a moment. We've got Lady Joan in. And we've just been joined by a very throaty Brandon, who assures us that he's not contagious at all. Well, let me just say here and now that if you are contagious and we do get something from you...
I do apologise.
There'll be two of us that will be kicking you in the shins, and I'm sure you could think of something much worse.
Yes, I'll sue your ass.
Ooh! We say backside on this show, if you don't mind.
Sorry.
Okay, so we were talking about manipulation before the break, and part two is something completely different. It happened over the Christmas period, talking about flooding and so on. Michael Sheen was on a BBC radio programme, and somebody phoned in and said that they're fed up with all the money going to abroad, and maybe they should start thinking of looking after these poor flood victims. And he said it was what's the term he used? There was a special term that he used. He said it was false economy. So false economy to do so. And he actually, I think he really upset quite a few people. They had quite a number of complaints. So what's your thoughts on that? Should we take this seriously? Is it, you know, do we give too much money away? You know, should we be looking after our own and so on?
Well, first of all, I think actors should keep out of it because they're not our mouthpieces. We've not asked them to speak up on behalf of us. I don't know what it's got to do with them, really. I mean, they're entitled to their opinion, but to platform it on national radio like that, I think it's a bit off.
Bearing in mind he lives in LA.
Yeah, very dry LA, no flooding there, is there?
No.
Oh, God. And if there was, I mean, he'd just jet his way out of it. I mean, these people had miserable Christmases, their families, all their possessions wrecked, their homes wrecked. You know, they can't go back for months. Some of them are just selling up because they think it's going to happen again. They're going to sell at a very low price. It's rotten, isn't it? I mean, I think there should be a balance, Ian, in answer to your question. I think, yeah, by all means, we need to help those worse off than ourselves in other countries. But we should look after our own when disaster strikes. Of course we should. Of course we should.
I think you're right. And there is the other side of the coin is when people say, well, don't they have insurance?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of them can't get insurance now, can they? Because they do live on a floodplain and it's happened maybe once, a couple of times. So that's why they're going to, probably some of them will be selling now at a loss because they'll be told that their property is virtually worthless. And no doubt in the fullness of time, the government will put in some flood defences and then the prices will rocket. So these poor people are going to lose out not only over Christmas being flooded, but they're going to lose out financially as well and lose their homes.
We also hear that they've, in certain areas up and down the country, that they've actually reduced the amount of funding for, you know, barriers to protect them from flooding. So, you know, it's a bit sort of, hang on a minute, if you're going to reduce the amount of cash you're putting into that, you're really, it's an accident waiting to happen, isn't it?
It's just setting up a problem. And, you know, it's all very well for people like Martin Sheen to say all this stuff, but you think it hasn't happened to you. You're not the one who's living in a town that's become like Venice overnight. It's not your family that are going around in little dinghies and galoshes because of it. It's not your personal possessions floating out the front door. So it's that thing. And until you've been there, maybe don't comment.
That's a good point, actually, because I must admit, you can only imagine just how bad that is. Mm. And for some of these people, it's happened a few times in the last period, and the last, you know, and you think
it must be soul destroying.
You can't imagine it. You really can't. I mean, there we were over the Christmas period. We had a leak somewhere, and we ended up with a puddle on the floor, and it's fixed. It's done. It's sorted. But that was something really minuscule. Mm. Okay, we were put out a little bit by it, but these people have had their lives ruined.
Of course,
basically,
they have.
You know, you just imagine that they're everything that's, that they've got inside the house, you know, completely ruined, and they're going to have to start again.
Some piece of advice, you know, that they had from some official source was to say, move your plug sockets to, you know, 3 foot above floor level. I mean, how were they going to do that when they were already immersed in water and all blow themselves up? I mean, just ridiculous kind of stuff coming out, isn't it? You'd think it's just not thought through in any way at all.
No. Laurie says, if we don't take care of our infrastructure first and our economy suffers, we will not be able to give away as much anyway. So temporary diverting aid to our own disasters seem logical to me. Let's take a call. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Happy New Year to you, Macaroon.
It's me old mate, Uncle Arthur. Happy New Year to you as well.
Yeah, some things change, some things never change, do they?
No.
Hey? I mean, water, we're surrounded by the stuff.
Yeah.
It comes out the sky. When it rains, it lands on the highest points as well as the lowest points, and it always finds its way back to where it comes from, which is the sea. So therefore, if you've got rivers, you make sure the rivers can take the amount of water which they're by geographic situation designed to take. That's the bottom line of it, isn't it?
Well, that's the simple way of putting it, and thank you for doing that, because as I say, it just makes common sense, doesn't it? I think we should put you in charge of floods.
Oh, I mean, there's nothing new under the sun, right? And If we sort of don't broaden our horizons, if we just concentrate on the little bit where we are at the moment, right? We always get told about, oh, you know, this is the heaviest rain since this and the heaviest water. Well, if you look back at some old pictures of Newport on the Isle of Wight, you'll see actually the bottom of the High Street's flooded.
Yeah.
You'll see the bottom of Honey Hill flooded. You'll see Carisbrook Road flooded. Well, that's, you know, that's in a time when we didn't have power stations pumping out coal all over the place, and when we didn't have cars roaring up and down the street. So who's fooling who with all of this?
Manipulation, again. That was part one. It's becoming part two as well. Just going back to about 1984, I worked in a shipyard down at Samuel White's industrial estate in Cowes, and in part of the building there was a plaque on the wall where it had the water level back in about 1914, yeah. And it was like well off the ground, and it was really quite high. It's never been that high since. We had a flood down there in 1984, and it came up, and it was something like 2 feet short of what it was in 1914. You know, I'm plucking dates and times out of the air, but you just think, okay, so it was up that high all those years ago.
Well, think a bit further, right? How did the Isle of Wight become an island?
Mm.
It was attached along a big lump of chalk ridge to Old Harry Rocks on Swanage, I believe. And all the water that ran out from Dorset and wherever ran along and out and dispersed out past what is now Portsmouth. And then somewhere along the line, the water got out and knocked down all the chalk cliffs and made the Isle of Wight an island. And in fact, it should be three islands, shouldn't it?
Go on.
Well, Bembridge really is an island, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, because there was, I think Bembridge and Brading, wasn't it? There was,
Oh, I mean, that Brading was a port in Roman times.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, so there's nothing new. The point is that what we've done continually over the years, we've looked for the easy target. Oh, a nice bit of flat ground there. We'll build on that. Yeah? Farmers have had relatively easy life to expand their fields, you know, an extra metre of ground to take out that hedge and remove that ditch and don't need all that. We ain't going to get any more rain, you know. And yet what happens is, as soon as it pours, I mean, look what we had the other year. How ridiculous is it when on the Isle of Wight, Merston is flooded?
Yeah.
How ridiculous is that? You know? And that can only be down to the fact that there's been some poor management on that river that goes round into the Medina.
So just so we're absolutely clear, what the point you're making is
poor management.
Is it poor management or
poor management, lack of investment? And I'm sorry if the greater crested newt is going to have its habitat washed away, but at the end of the day, I'm more concerned about the house that I live in and my family.
Yeah, sure. But yeah. Is it also, you know, when people start talking about, and don't get me wrong, I'm not an expert on any of this, but when they start saying, oh, we're damaging the planet, yeah, we're doing this, we're doing that, do you believe it, or do you think that's,
well,
again?
See, everything has a contribution, right? If you was to say to me, we have the answer to all of our problems, we're going to do away with global warming, where would you start? What would you start with? We keep getting this thing flung at us about our use of the car and coal-fired power stations, but actually, when we start looking at the things that really do produce greenhouse gases, we've got to start looking at them things that cover the fields in most of the southern part of America. We've got to look at cows. We've got to look at things that ruminants that put all that methane up into the air. Because I bet them cows contribute far more than all the cars on the planet do.
Hmm. I just, like many people, we look at all of this and we watch all these people come on and say, oh, it's because of this, it's because of that. And then somebody will say, yeah, we want another airport and we want to load more aeroplanes to go up in the sky. And nobody bats an eye, do they? They say that's all right.
Well,
that's
why
fine.
Why would you need to fly from London to Manchester?
The world we live in is crazy. I remember.
Okay, I can understand flying from Southampton to Brussels or from Southampton to, you know, Holland or something like that. But why would you need to fly from Southampton to Exeter?
It's laziness, that's what it is.
Well, it's not just laziness. It's
money.
It's because you can, because you've got enough money and someone else is paying for it.
Well, with all this money that they have for research about this global warming, now, I know for a fact global warming is, yes, it is a thing, and it is speeding up the planet's decay, but when it comes down to it, the planet goes into ice ages, it does this thing of melting the ice caps, it does this thing, because that's the cycle of the planet.
Yeah.
All we're doing is speeding it up, so when people complain, you know, oh, we're killing the world, it's like, no, we're just speeding up the process, which in the end will kill us, because the ice age obviously will just freeze everything.
Well, you see, the other angle to all of this is, right, if you look at what we've got on this planet, in whatever form it is at the moment, the only things that are still not on the planet from when it was formed are the bits that are floating around in space outside us. It's all still here, but in another form. So whatever we do, we just convert it into a different form. It doesn't change it. The total mass is still there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this has happened many, many, many times in the history of this planet, and will happen again until it completely gets engulfed by the sun, or until we all go up to heaven, depending upon what you believe, or down the other way, or we all get 100 virgins to look after us.
Oh, right.
Yeah, or people make the foolish decision of pressing the red button.
You know, I mean, the thing is, you have to be responsible for what you do. And we only live in a very small corner of what is a very large planet. We have abundant resources on the whole planet for everybody. Yet, a lot of people decide politically they don't want to give it to the people that need it. Mm. They want to keep it for themselves.
Yeah. Same old story, then.
Same old story.
It repeats
so
itself.
Get the people out there, get these unemployed people, or the people that want to come over from Syria, give them a flipping digger or a spade and get them down the rivers and start clearing some of the silt out. Then the water will go away, won't it?
I'm glad you said that. And not us.
Well, there you go. But I mean, that's the point, isn't it?
Well, just to you asked the question earlier on about the Isle of Wight and when it had become detached from the mainland. It was they say 7,000 years ago. It's thought to have occurred 7,000 years ago. So you know you're right. Pardon the pun there, eh? But it's highlighting the fact that we've had these issues with water. For many, many centuries.
It's also exactly. Energy as well, isn't it? It's that whole exactly. Consumption thing.
So clear the rivers out, clear the debris out of them, get the farmers to put all the blinking ditches back in their fields, get island roads to deal with the ditches that are no longer there, and we should all be able to get the water to where it's rightly got supposed to go, down into the sea.
Do you know what? You've just brought up a really, really valid point, and it's a shame you brought it up at the end, because we've run out of time. But I don't know whether you've noticed, if you've been out and about on the island roads at the moment, you know, those roads that they've made absolutely wonderful, and they've done a terrific job on them, when you go out into the countryside, the sides of the road are going to crumble. The ditches aren't there.
There's no ditch. The tarmac goes right to the end, doesn't it?
It goes right to the end in the grass.
So who's decided that? Why is that?
I don't know, but that's
not... There's no curb.
Exactly. No curb whatsoever. And you think, that's only a matter of time, this time of year, that you'll drive over those and they'll just collapse. The edges of the roads will collapse.
Yeah.
Sadly. Hey, look, we've got to go because we've run out of time. But well, thanks...
Blow me down.
Thank you. Thanks for being there, Uncle Arthur.
You take damn good care, and I'm sure it'll be the last time we speak this year.
It will be. Happy New Year to you.
And yourselves.
Cheers now. Bye. Lady Joan, thank you for being there.
Thank you.
And you didn't really get much of a speaking part, but we want you to vacate as quickly as possible, Brandon, because we think you may be contagious.
I'm not contagious. It's just I think the Christmas period has done its way with me.
Had its way with you?
Had its way with me.
Right, okay. All right. Thank you both.